Well, happy feast, brethren. Was that not an incredible song? I was feeling that as they were building up towards the end, and it finished, and I had to like sit on my hands to keep from applauding. And the nice thing was, everyone I heard sitting behind me did the same thing. Oh, wow. Thank you so very much, Mr. McLean, who's put together this festival choir. Can you believe most of them just met each other for the first time a few days ago? And yet they come together and their voices unite and they sing praises and God blesses it. And we are blessed to have that. Well, we are very blessed to be together. I want to send greetings also to all those who are tied in via the webcast, our brothers and sisters, regardless of your situation or where you're at. We hope that you also are able to rejoice in this Feast of Tabernacles. And we look forward to being reunited with you very soon. Well, I want to begin by telling a story. Much like Mr. Light, I love stories. But about 29 years ago, I was a young man. I was 23 years old. And I was looking forward to my wedding day. My fiance and I, who is now my wife, we were 20 and 23, me being the 23-year-old, and we were talking about it, and we were excited, and there was all the planning that was going into it, and we were still at the phase of all the excitement before the real hard work started. And we were talking about our future and the life that we wanted to build together, that we were going to become one, that we were going to start with just the two of us becoming a family, and that we prayed that God would eventually bless us and we would have children, and that family would grow. And as we were talking about it, we were discussing things and kind of getting into the details of that future and what it would look like. And my young fiance was college student at the time and very committed to her studies and the future that she planned to do with that. And she said, you know, I have a question. And she was a little nervous about it. There she is. And I could tell, you know, she was a little nervous. She was like, how do I say this? And she said, it seems like a lot of ladies these days who have careers and have a profession, she was going to be a counselor. She said, you know, they started off in college and they have their name, and they professionally will keep their name instead of, you know, changing it to the name of their husband. She's like, well, what would you think about that? Well, I didn't have the overriding, you know, absolutely not, you shall take my name. It was a little different than that. I remember looking at her and thinking, how do I tell her that I didn't want my name either? Jones doesn't really mean anything. You know, many of you have taken the Dave Ramsey course, and he's like, stop trying to keep up with the Joneses, they're broke. And my wife's like, I know. You don't have to repeat it all the time. But the truth was, is I really didn't like my name. And so I sat there, and I started trying to explain to her what my name meant. You see, the name that I have, David Jones, the Jones part, was given to me by my father. His last name was Jones. And I hadn't been around my father since I was about 3 years old. My father was not a good man. He was actually one of the worst types of men, for all the reasons that you can imagine. And God miraculously delivered us from him. And so from that time on, I never saw him again, which again was a blessing. But I grew up fatherless. At the time, my family was able to get away from him My mother took us from Texas, where I was born, up to Nebraska, and we lived there for about 6.5 years. And then there came a time when there were opportunities for our family back in Texas, and she said, we're going to go back. And so we did. But I was back in the place where I'd come from, where I was born. And the church at the time around Big Sandy was huge. And it was interesting because once in a while, I would meet someone, and they'd say, oh, you're David Jones. I'd say, yeah. And they'd say something like, oh, I knew your father. And it would, my heart would just kind of seize up. Because I knew him too. And I didn't know how much they knew. But that's who they thought of when they heard that name. When I was about 13 years of age, I was talking with my mom, and this got brought up. And I asked her, I said, Mom, what would you think if I changed my name? What if I took what was your maiden name, and then I wouldn't be connected with him? Nobody would ever think of us in the same sentence. And she listened, and she said, you know, son, I understand that. She said, after everything happened, I thought about going back to my maiden name. I was like, well, why didn't you? It's a better name. Even just Jones and Hopkins, which was her name. And she said, well, because it was your name. It was your brother's name and your sister's name. You are Joneses. And we are a family. I would be called by the same name that you are called. And she said, son, you have a choice. When you come of age, you can change your name to whatever you want it to be. Or you can choose to make your name mean something different. It's your choice. Changing your name to mean something different is going to be more work. But it will mean something different. It took me a little while to get through that story to my fiance. And I told her about it. And I remember her eyes were big. And she went, oh, well, when you put it that way. She said, I would be proud to take your name. And for 28 years, she has blessed me with that name. And our union, our marriage. Today I want to talk about what it means to have the name of God. The title of my sermon today is Taking God's Name. Taking God's Name. You know, many of us are taught the Ten Commandments when we're children. And the third commandment is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Well, when I was growing up, most often when we said, oh, you shouldn't take the Lord's name in vain, it meant swearing, right? Cursing, using God's name more as an expletive than as a name of honor. But I believe it actually means something different. As we look at that word, to take the name, it actually means to carry, to bear the name of God, to accept his name upon us. By implication, that name also means to honor it, to give it authority, to give it character. And that is what we should not be taking in vain. Brethren, God has placed his name upon each and every one of you. This Feast of Tabernacles, what are we told? Wherever God chooses to place his name, we're here because he has placed his name on you, and we are gathered together, as we've already heard, as this wonderful family reunion, even if we're family that hasn't met yet. We are His children, called by His name. David, in writing to his own children, or maybe this is actually Solomon, in Proverbs 1 and verse 8, Proverbs 1 and verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." We are here because we are obeying the commandment to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. We are honoring our Father, our Father's name, His instruction, and we're not forsaking the law. That graceful ornament is a crown. The chain is not a chain of bondage or servitude, but it is a recognition of who we belong to. And it is precious. That is how we are given His name. And we're told to honor that name. And often, we first learn to honor God by keeping one of the other commandments. You shall honor your father and your mother. The family name. This is how we are known. John 1. In verse 12. You know, there are people here who are not a part of the church, many of them working in the facility, many of them in the community of Klamath Falls. They're watching us. They're seeing who we are as the church called by God's name. John 1 and verse 12. "But as many as received Him, to them He gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." When we first believe and repent of our sins, which are against God, against His law, we enter into a covenant with Him. We're baptized into the name of the Father and the Son. And then it is by the indwelling of His Spirit that we become His children. That is what makes us His. He chooses to place His name upon us. He chooses you. That name is something that we should embrace, that we should try to make ourselves fit it. And far more than just our language, how we speak, it is such a gift to be called a child of God. We don't want to take that name in vain, to sully it, or to not realize what it means. The gift that He has given to us. We represent the name of God. It's supposed to be stamped upon us. There are brethren here, family, literal blood family. Some of them are large, some of them are small, but you can spot them because they look the same, right? Thankfully, my kids don't take after me so much as they do after their mother. But like our daughters, they're like, "Oh, I know who you belong to." We can see that image. And that is the image that we are to be formed into with our Heavenly Father, with our brother, Jesus Christ, to look as they do. And brethren, that's what this is all about. The family of God. He wants us to be as He is. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons, children, to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. That of one is translated meaning of the same origin, the same family. That's what brethren means, of the womb, to be siblings. Brethren, as I told you the story of my own name and where I received it, Proverbs again, in Proverbs 22 and verse 1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. Some of you have had the same experience that I did. Many of those whom God has called into his family came from something that was broken, that was harmed, that was hurt. But he has called us into a different family, a complete family. When he told Aaron and his sons as the priests how to bless the children of Israel, he said this in Numbers 6 and verse 27. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We heard in the earlier message from Mr. Hill about those who are suffering now, who are going through trials and afflictions. You know, being called into the family of God doesn't mean it's all rainbows. We are to be like our older brother, who also was sanctified through sufferings. And yet we find a way to rejoice in it, that we are blessed by being as he was. Galatians 4 and verse 4. Because this is so powerful, and it is so real. Galatians 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We have been adopted. That's one of the things that's different in our world today. We have family members that were adopted. And, you know, truly, we're told that a man can have no greater love than that he lay down his life for his brother. I would put adoption right in there with it, because we are giving our life to someone who didn't have it, someone who was an orphan, someone without father, without mother, without family, and we're bringing them into ours to share our life with them, to make them a son, to make them a daughter, to give them a home. That is an incredible gift. In the time of Christ, adoption was something a little more powerful. You see, at that time, if an individual adopted you, you were legally their offspring. In fact, the Roman citizens, especially the Caesars, they would adopt their heir, not necessarily their blood. They would choose someone who most exemplified their character, their heart, their mind, and that person became their inheritor, and they took the name of that man, of that father, and they were legitimately theirs. In the eyes of man and in the eyes of the law, there was no difference. In fact, that was more important than the one who was actually their offspring. When we are told that we are adopted sons and children of God, it is that type of being grafted in and truly made one of His, a true son, a true daughter. We are a part of His family, and He looks at us as His children. Now, I've told you a little bit of my story. I grew up fatherless, but I had a mother. And frankly, she was awesome. She was really something else. She was sweet. She was incredibly loving. She was incredibly funny. She had a wit that was just incredible. And she was tough. She was really tough. She had three of us to raise by herself. And she was strict. And I was a handful. I came from that generation where they still didn't have a problem spanking you in public. Not an issue. Other parents would walk by and go, good job. You know? Do it again. I'll hold them. And I can't remember how many times my mother would look down and say, David, Michael, you are my son, and you will behave. I will not be ashamed of my son. And then I'd get what was coming to me. But Mom always held me afterwards. Every time. She embraced me. She said, oh, my son, I know you don't realize this now, but if I didn't love you, I wouldn't correct you. I love you. And it's my job to make sure that you become the man that God wants you to become. As a child, that's hard to understand. You know, you're kind of rubbing your tail in and you're like, oh, that's love. But I understand it now. I even came to understand it before I had children of my own. But when I did become a father, I understood how hard that was. How hard that was for my mom alone. How hard that is for all of us as parents, as family. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. Because this is just as difficult for our Heavenly Father. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked from him or by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you were without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. How do we know that we are children of God, that God loves us? When we're corrected. I would imagine that everyone in here who's made that journey to baptism, and each consecutive year coming to Passover, we've looked back and seen the corrections we've received. and the blessings that have come from it. That is one of the ways that we are to know that we are on the path, that He is our Father. One of the most important ways, brethren, that we are to wear the name of God, to know that we are not taking His name in vain, is to show Him honor by loving our siblings. By loving our siblings. Again, this has been read before, and I'll read it again. Psalms 133 and verse 1. A song of ascent of David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, family, to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down to the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore, healing. Brethren, how many of us have been healed by being called into this family? So many. How many of us as parents want our children to love each other? It was one of the hard things for me as a child, again, the youngest, arguing with my sister because it was my turn to watch the TV. And back then, there was only one TV. There were no devices, no extra phones. In fact, the phone we had to chain to the wall. And my mother would come out and say, just love each other. Stop fighting. It doesn't matter. She's your sister. Love her. He's your little brother. Don't kill him. But the reality is that rips at a parent's heart. When they see their children so angry with each other that it's hostile, almost hatred, that breaks a parent's heart. How do we think our Heavenly Father feels when He looks down at this world that He made all the people in His image as His children? How much different should it be with us? Who are allowed to know who our Father is today, who are allowed to know the family we have been called into. How much more should we love one another? How much more united should we be? Brethren, how many splits have we had? Divorces within the family of God? Divisions? How many of them were justified? So often, instead of focusing on how much we have in common, because we're all children of God, we're all trying to obey Him, we're all trying to honor Him, and yet, you know, I'm going to argue about that one little difference. I could get along so well with my sister. We could play so well until it was my turn to pick the TV show. Do we ever do that spiritually? Something frivolous that we will then turn on each other? What? Well, if you don't do that, if you don't pray the way I pray or do this on the Sabbath, then we cannot be a part of each other. What's more important, brethren? That we learn to dwell together in unity. That we understand the sacrifice that God has made to make us family, to bring us together as one. That we don't sweat the small stuff. Most of the things and the divisions within the churches of God and the family of God that I'm aware of, not salvation issues. We can honor our Heavenly Father by loving one another. By not focusing on the faults. John 14 and verse 15. John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he or it may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Brethren, we've been given a family. We need to cherish it, because that family is all called by the same name. A father who loves his children. And the way that we honor him, truly the way that we serve him, is by serving one another. You know, you think about our church services. We obey, we observe, we keep the Sabbath day, and we sing praises to him. And I'm a minister of Christ. How do I serve God? By serving you. Brethren, that's not just the responsibility of the ministry. That's the obligation of the family of God. That we serve one another, that we love one another. And that is what unites us and binds us together. Isaiah 43 and verse 1. Isaiah 43 and verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place, since you were precious in my sight. You have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather them from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons and daughters from afar. My daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. That is who you are. That is the name that you carry, not because you were born with it, but because you are chosen, precious, and sacred. Brethren, we are formed and made to be God's children. Don't be afraid to take his name. Let it settle upon you. Embrace it. Grow into it. Honor that name by obeying our Father. Let us honor his name by loving each other, our family, as brothers and sisters. Because, brethren, what we're all waiting for, what we're all hoping for, is that when we stand before his throne, he will look down at us as a loving father and say, this is my child. This is my son, my daughter, in whom I am well pleased.
pleased. Take the name of God.